Today on Real Life Radio.
They raise him up and he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Church, I don't know what evidence more you need on the factual side or the emotional side to say, that's my God, that's my Savior, that's the one for me.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, with January right around the corner, I gotta tell you, we're excited to once again be going through the one-year Bible together as a congregation, and we're hoping you'll join us. This last year has not been an easy one. The wars in Israel and Ukraine, with rumors of war on the horizon, health epidemics, and the ever-rising cost of living, that's just to name a few. So here's an idea. Why don't we nourish our spiritual growth together? The One-Year Bible lays out a simple plan of what to read and when by dividing God's Word into daily readings in as little as 15 minutes a day. Don't worry if you miss a day or two or three or even a week. Just begin again at that current day so that we're all on the same page. Our God is still on the move in miraculous ways and wants us to look forward to the new year. Reading the scriptures together, it's an unforgettable devotional experience and reminds you that you are not alone. The One-Year Bible is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, It's the Cross. You know, this Gospel of Luke series is one that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke, the physician, can do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 23, we'll consider the cross and how it was unique to Christianity. You see, those who believe in Jesus embrace the cross. There's no salvation without the cross, no heaven. Everything that we need for eternal life was purchased by Jesus at the cross. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that it's the death of Jesus on that cross that gives life to all who believe and want to live. Jesus created our forgiveness and our salvation, and from that cross, Jesus secured our future. Now with his message called It's the Cross, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
How great would it be? What smart city leaders if they said, let's have a banner put up as you approach our city limits. And it says, happy is the city whose God is the Lord. Oh, you can't do that. That's offensive. You can't do that. That's going to hurt somebody's feelings. I guess so. But I'd rather have my feelings hurt than God's feelings hurt. How does the cross benefit us? When we talk about the cross preparing us for what's ahead, how does it benefit us? Church, keep this in mind. Regarding the cross and how it benefits us, it was and it is the place where God meets sinners. It's the place where God forgave sin, the cross. It's the place where mankind was, listen, indicted, judged, condemned, but it doesn't end there. At the cross, when Jesus went to the cross, you say, well, why would Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity of God, God himself revealed in human flesh, why would he go to the cross to die? Because, my friend, you and I were supposed to go to the cross and die. You say, well, I live in this culture now. I live in this age. The Bible says that we were to die for our sins. But Jesus stepped in and he went there for us, so that we wouldn't have to go there. In this room today, in the sanctuary, there are Christians who, according to Jesus himself, have passed from death to life. Amen. You and I will never experience the judgment of God for our sins. That's what Jesus did on the cross for us. He set us free. And if you don't have him, the Bible's clear. You're not prepared for the future. You're not ready. The cross benefits us because all of mankind was judged at the cross. When was Jack judged? When was Jack condemned by God? When was Jack indicted by God and found guilty? I can point to the cross. You say, Jack, shouldn't you point to you? Not anymore. until I met Jesus, up until that moment I met Jesus, yes, I would have to point to me. But the moment I met Christ and I came to faith in him and trusted him, now I point to the cross. If the Father were to say, Jack, you're guilty of this and thus and so, I would say, Lord, based upon your word, Jesus dealt with that at the cross. But Jack, you said this or that. But Father, Jesus took care of that at the cross. It's the cross. Jack, you deserve to die. Yes, Lord, but it's at the cross that Jesus gave me life. Jack, you deserve punishment. Yes, Lord, but it's at the cross that Jesus took my punishment. It's awesome to realize that. The true believer in this room today embraces the cross, is excited about that, thanks God for it, and is prepared by it. The cross. There's no salvation without the cross. Number four, verses 32 to 34. It's the cross that's separating two opposing worlds right now. Two worlds are in opposition because of the cross. Verse 32, there were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other one on the left. Can I appeal to your logic right now, just for a moment? Just your logic. Listen, just your reason. No emotions, no feelings, only logic. Only the evidence, only the facts. Watch this. It is a pure, absolute, historical, factual situation here that Christ was crucified. You can't deny it. It happened. That's a fact. It took place, and I want you to think now for a moment, and I'm going to lay this down kind of in a sarcastic way, not to be mean, but to provoke you to thinking. The Bible says that he was crucified between two criminals. Rome ordered it that way. Before verse 32 and 33 ever took place, you guys, the Jews had in their custody, in every synagogue around the world at that time, what I'm about to read to you right now. Think, before Jesus was crucified between two criminals, the Jews had in every synagogue worldwide what I'm about to read to you. Isaiah 53:12 says, he poured out his life unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. The Bible said that Jesus, the Messiah, would be flanked by two transgressors. According to Roman law, Jesus would have been taken from the judgment seat of Pontius Pilate. He would have walked that Via Della Rosa. The first man to be in that entourage was a representative of the governor himself. And this man would be carrying that conviction sign I mentioned a moment ago. And the Bible tells us in Matthew 27, 37, which is exactly what Rome did. It says that the man held that declaration of accusation. And it said, this is Jesus, King of the Jews. And the man is walking in front of that procession. Two men, criminals, in the middle. Some guy, you're not quite sure who he is, but there's a lot of strange things going on about him. A lot of strange things being said about him. There's a guy carrying, a representative of the Roman Empire, who doesn't think he care less. And the guy is walking along according to Roman law, and the conviction is, this is the King of the Jews. He's marching as the spit's flying, and as the curses are flying, he's crucified between two criminals. I appeal to your logic, to your reason. Psalm 22, verse 16, written 1,000 years before Jesus was born. Psalm 22, 16 says, Gentiles have surrounded me, and a band of evil men has encircled me, and they have pierced my hands and my feet. I don't appeal to your emotions. I don't appeal to your feelings. Pure logic. I ask you this historical question. Was Jesus crucified and pierced through his hands and his feet? That is something that is not only a historical fact, it is proven in the courtroom of factual opinion and data and custom of Rome. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. Paul says, I'm a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as it is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel, that's the cross, to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, that's the cross of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. 1 Corinthians 15, get your pen ready, this is going to be fun. 1 Corinthians 15, how do you know if you've ever given the gospel to somebody in this life? This is how. If you ever wonder, well, how do I know if I gave somebody the gospel? Here it is. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. You do this, you've given somebody the gospel. Here it is. It's the preaching of the cross. 1 Corinthians 15, 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, that's the cross, which I preach to you, which you also received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast that which I preached to you, Paul says, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I've received, that Christ died. Where did he die? At the cross. For our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Right there, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 4 is the gospel. And it's all about the cross. Historically, think about this. The condemned man was to carry the cross. He was to carry his own cross. And he was to carry his own cross to judgment. In 1 Peter 3:18, the Bible says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I'm trying to hurry. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he, listen, that is God the Father, made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus went to the cross. The perfect one went there for us. And then Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Can someone say amen? Amen. That's good news. Sin cannot survive in the presence of the cross. It's impossible. Sin dies at the cross.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
So Jesus takes, think about it, Jesus takes your life, my life. Let's just pick on me. He takes my life, all my sin, committed, intended, thought of, sin executed and sin not executed. Sin past, present, and future, Jesus took care of it at the cross for me. He did it for me. He did it for you. And he, only God could do this. Think that he took all of that on himself at the cross. That's why we love him. That's why we sing. That's why we give him our lives. And I wrote this down in my own life. I tell you, this means a lot to me. For those of us who have come to the cross, we've watched our fears evaporate, or they're evaporating. For those of us who have come to the cross, we've watched our pride be washed away, or it's being washed away. For those of us who have come to the cross, our gossip has been purged, or it's being purged. For those of us who have come to the cross, our shame is removed, or it's being removed. He's given us life. And finally, we end here. Number five, it's the cross that's giving life to all who want to live. Look at verse 34. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. One of the most famous statements, and one of the seven statements of Jesus from the cross. And they divided his garments and cast lots. But what an amazing thing this is. Jesus, in his hour of suffering, he prays for us. He prays for them that are there. Technically, according to the Greek language, you guys, Jesus is literally praying for those who have perpetrated this against him in the immediate now. But of course, it goes beyond that, as you well know. I want you to think about that for a second. He's covered in spit. Isaiah says he's more disfigured than any other human being has ever been. Can you imagine putting a human being in a blender and then reassembling in that skin in the shape of a human and then nailing it to the cross? The movie Passion of the Christ got an R rating because they said it was too graphic of violence regarding Jesus. And then you saw the movie and it says, are you kidding me? They didn't even come close. According to Roman history, Jesus' lungs from the flagellum beating, his lungs would have been exposed. The eyewitnesses in Roman scourgings could see cartilage, ribs, lungs, tissue, vitals being exposed over the back. I know that you and I, and it's normal for us. As humans, it's normal. We don't see that kind of stuff. I understand that. But church, listen to this. Jesus said, Father, Father. He's praying from the cross. I can hardly stay awake to pray at all. He's praying from the cross. Father, what? Father, get me out of here. No, Father, forgive them. You ever doubt if Jesus is God? You shouldn't anymore. He's on the cross and he's saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Man, I see my priest on the cross here. That's my priest. See, what do you say that? He's praying to the Father. He's interceding for these guys. Rough, rugged, Roman guards, centurions, committed to crucifying him. Is one of them standing there with a mallet? He would have. Somebody had a mallet, a hammer, blood splattered uniform, maybe blood's on his face. The blood of God splattered on your face. Is one there with a spear? We know somebody had a spear because in a moment, one of them's going to shove the spear into Jesus' side. They would have taken that vertical beam, it's laying on the ground. They would have then now tied that to the crossbar that he's going to be nailed to. He's now nailed to it, tied the two pieces of wood together, and then they raise up and it falls into a hole. Centurions had to do that. That was their job. Can you imagine? You don't know what's going on. You're an Italian. You're in Israel. You speak Latin. You're far from home. You're just doing your job. Nailing this. Doesn't cry. Doesn't make any noise. As a lamb is silent before it shears, the Bible says, so he opened not his mouth. Didn't say, ouch. Didn't say, you know what? You wait till I get you in eternity. I'm going to fry you. He didn't say that. They raise him up and he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Church, I don't know what evidence more you need on the factual side or the emotional side to say, that's my God. That's my Savior. That's the one for me. What does it take? What's it going to take? I plead with you. What's it going to take? What more do you want? There's nothing better than this. Look at the things that you and I have done in life and we didn't know what we were doing. And Father says, Jesus says, Father, forgive them. They know what they do. I appeal, and the last verse, I appeal to your logic and reason. Isaiah 53, 743 years before Jesus was born, says, he bore the sin of many and he made intercession for the transgressors. Intercession means he prays for them. Wow. Wow. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, I confess before my friends, this spiritual family right here, right now, I scarcely can even begin to wrap my brain, my emotions, my soul around this truth. I confess to you, Father, publicly, I am both excited, delighted, appalled, and disgusted at how little faith I have when I hear and read this actual event. That, Father, Well, I don't know what to say. But that, Lord, we're grateful. We're thankful. And now we see a little bit more as to why your Bible tells us that we have become more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now we see why your Bible says that we've been persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, principalities or powers for things present, for things to come, would separate us from the love of God. Lord, let us worship you now in spirit and in truth. Amen. Church, as we worship the Lord right now, I want you to sit still. I want you to think. My friend, please, I plead with you. If you're not sure if you know Jesus today, in a moment, I'm going to invite you to know him. Search your heart now, if you would. Listen, right now, right where you're at, you can make a decision for Jesus. You know, it's an amazing thing. It's the simplest thing you can do, and it's the hardest thing you can do. It is right before you, and yet at the same time, it's impossible. It takes God stirring your heart. It takes your heart to be willing. You've got to be willing today and eager to agree with him. Your will has to be changed. I mean, it's so incredibly involved and it's so incredibly deep to come to Christ, and yet most people who do range somewhere between 3 years old and maybe 10 years old statistically, because they just get it. The older we get, the harder it becomes. We get set in our ways like concrete, standing in it. And right now, right where you're at, you need to be able to say, dear Lord, I want to embrace the cross today. It's all about the cross, and I need the cross in my life. My friend, listen, no matter who you are, no matter what you may be a card-carrying member of, it doesn't matter. You need to meet Jesus at the cross. And so right now, I'm going to ask you to make that decision. And at the end of this service, in a moment, I'm going to want to meet you. But right now, you would be saying, dear Lord, forgive me. I want to take you up on the offer of the cross. I want to come to you now. I want to have my sins forgiven. I want to now proclaim that Jesus died and rose again from the grave for me. Lord, I embrace the cross, and I'm coming to him now. If you've made that prayer, if you want to make that prayer today, I want to meet you after service and celebrate your new life in Jesus. It happens just like that, right here, right now. It's not the building. It's not this moment. It's in the throne room of your heart. Will you get off the throne today and invite Jesus to take his seat?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called It's the Cross. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. So today you heard an altar call at the end of the message, and I'd like to let you know that just because it was on the radio, it doesn't make it any less real. If you felt God move in your life today and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, we'd love to know about it, and we'd like to help you out with some resources. Visit jackhibbs.com, and there's a tab there that says Know God. And there you'll be guided through what committing to Jesus Christ really means and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. That's the Know God tab at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. If you picked up your copy of the one-year Bible yet, we'll be reading that one-year Bible as a church family in 2024, so why don't you join us as we go through the one-year Bible together from cover to cover. It'll be awesome to see how God's Word comes alive through the pages of Scripture. It's an unforgettable devotional experience, and once you see how much God loves you, you will never be the same. The one-year Bible is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. You know, Jack Hibbs truly believes that we are living in some of the most exciting days in history. which brings some great opportunities to share with the world a powerful, no-nonsense presentation of the gospel to this generation who, by the way, are really searching for answers and for truth. Will you stand with us in sharing this message in real and practical ways? We ask that you commit to support Real Life and the teachings of Jack Hibbs with a gift of your choosing. Simply go to jackhibbs.com. There you'll find instructions on how to give a one-time gift or a recurring gift. If you'd prefer to call, here's that phone number, 877-777-2346. One more time, 877-777-2346. Your gift will be faithfully put to work because it's our desire that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.